Now, you are, though, looking into, or there actually was a study, I don't know what the status of it is right now, that focused on these patients.
Correct.
Can you talk about that?
We are performing a phase two study at MD Anderson, and there's also a SWOG study that's ongoing looking at neoadjuvant treatment of patients with resectable metastases. We also have a protocol that we're pushing forward that will be an intergroup study that will look at patients with borderline or unresectable metastases, seeing if we can increase the rate of resectability, increase the number of patients who are downsized by chemotherapy. Again, as you know from Renee Adams' data at the Paul Bruce, when they looked at all comers who presented with unresectable disease, about 16% were downsized to the point where they could be resected. Of those patients who were resected, they then had about a 35% five-year survival. So what we would like to do is see if we can increase that proportion, increase it from 16 to, say, closer to 30%, almost a doubling in that number with a more aggressive chemotherapy regimen. So there are ongoing trials looking at both resectable and unresectable disease in patients who receive neoadjuvant chemotherapy.
The other issue, you're talking about how things have changed, is the fact that certainly, I guess, when you were talking about the 80s and 90s, we kind of had 5-FU and that was it. Now we have other agents, particularly chemotherapy, oxaliplatin, irinotecan, biologics, bevacizumab, panitumumab, cetuximab. From your perspective as a surgeon, do you see the practical consequences of this? Do you see greater anti-tumor effect in being able to help you deal with these patients?
The answer is yes. We definitely see patients who, by even an aggressive surgical oncologist or hepatobiliary surgeon standard, presents with unresectable disease, who is downsized enough that we can then be aggressive with resecting them. We also see that it has prognostic significance in that patients who show some response to neoadjuvant therapy and who are then resected, clearly in all of our data analysis, appear to have a better long-term prognosis. So again, very similar to many other disease sites, you know, the primary rectal cancer data, gastric cancer. So there's very definitely similarities there.
This concept of using systemic therapy to, quote, make the patient resectable when they're borderline, in a way it's kind of been a little bit confusing to me in that I think we know that usually systemic therapy doesn't sterilize the tumor. It doesn't make it go away. So what actually happens that improves the ability to do surgery?
It gives you the ability to get a negative margin where before you weren't. There are certain key sites in the liver that you simply can't resect and get a negative margin. For example, if you have a tumor involving all three hepatic veins, if you have a tumor that is essentially right on the confluence of the portal vein and the biliary structures, it may be a solitary tumor, but it's in a location where you cannot resect it and get a negative margin and leave the patient with enough liver to work.
Now, again, as a non-surgeon, I'm trying to think this thing through. Is it actually invading into, the portal vein or just close to it and the chemo pulls it back?
It's proximity and the chemo pulls it back. It's not like the situation of hepatocellular cancer where you can get actual tumor thrombus growing into these vascular structures. As you know, with metastases, it tends to be more of a pushing or proximity effect. So it's extremely rare. You can't say never, but extremely rare with colorectal metastases that we see actual vascular invasion into these major vessels.